Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
Thank you so much. One of the things that I just, in kind of celebrating the transitions, the times, the seasons of all of our lives, family is really what we are. Pastor Barry said it today, but that's really, that's the truth. He said he would build his church, but it's a family. You don't get in by just deciding this is your place. This is your jam. These are your peeps. You don't get in that way. You don't just attend. Families don't work that way. You get into a family because you're birthed into it. And you don't get a choice. You're hooked in. You know, crazy Aunt Charlie. Aunt Charlie. Yeah, that would be crazy Aunt Charlie. Crazy Aunt Sarah, crazy Uncle Charlie, whoever they may be. The reality is that's all a part of the package of who we are and whose we are. We belong. And when we belong to Him, we belong to one another. Come on, look around the room. Check it out. These are not just people that you put up with. These are not means to an end. Hear me? They're really, truly brothers and sisters. They're fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, grandparents in the faith. And we are a family of faith. And so I'm just glad to be a part of the family. I'm just glad to be, anytime I get a chance to be with family in the name of the Lord, I just celebrate that. And it's a delight to be here. I have something the Lord put in my heart to share with you, and so I don't want to take away from that. I really want to get to that. But I do want to say thank you to the many partners and friends who have been a part of our ministry, a part of our ministry family for these years. We're able to do ministry on a full-time basis, not because some employing entity has hired us, but because we have partners and friends who love us, who love the Lord, who believe that we can all sacrifice to serve the Lord Jesus and to promote His ministry in the earth. And we honestly, we begin every month at zero with the absolute assurance that there are so many faithful friends and partners who just contribute of their means to keep us in the ministry, to keep us on the field. And just the quickest report, I was sharing with Pastor Carl a little bit earlier, but I'm so excited. The fundraising is done, thank the Lord. Now, if you want to give more, give more. I'll let you know, because we're adding to the team. We are continually adding to the team, and every new $500 that comes along, we can kind of put another missionary associate into our team, and we're excited about that. These are people who sacrifice and serve, but God is building His church. He is building the family in North Texas, and we're believing God for Him to build a coalition of ministries and a kind of a family of ministries in such a way that we're able to take back the church. Here's the word that the Lord has given us. I, the Lord God, am going to take back my church, and I'm going to give it to the people I intended to give it to in the first place. Are you ready for this one? That's every member of the body of Christ. Not the superstars, not the who's who, not the paid staffs, but every member, every individual minister, every functioning part of the family of God. And God's plan is to so fill us like He did the early church, that everywhere we go, every day, among everyone, the glory of the Lord Jesus lives and moves in and through our lives. His living presence is manifest. God is not waiting for the world to come to church. Hear me. He is not waiting for the world to come to church. He is wanting the church to go into the world. Amen. Amen. And it's a huge difference. So when the Lord spoke that to me, I kind of just laughingly said, well, yeah, I'm all in on that, God, but here's the truth. We got to take it back from somebody. If you're going to take it back and give it to the people, who are you going to take it back from? And he said, the people who think they lead it now. I'm not being sassy. I'm trying to be obedient. But here's the reality. God's plan is not, the church has a personality. And it's not the loudest. It's not the richest. It's not the lead pastor or the lead musicians. The church's personality is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Amen. And restoring the glory and the living presence and the luster and the magnificence of who he is to us and through us is the plan of the Lord in these last days. And we're excited about it. God has just in the last 6 months really started putting so many things together. If you have about an hour and a half, talk to me later. Or better yet, come visit us down in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We would love to show you kind of what the Lord is doing. It is so exciting. We think we're just on the front edge of what we believe before the Lord Jesus is a revolutionizing concept of ministry. And it's not new. It's not avant-garde. It's so stinking old that it's like first century. It's the book of Acts kind of stuff. But we are expecting and believing that we're going to have Book of Acts empowerment and Book of Acts results, Book of Acts manifestations of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And so pray for us, pray with us, but we do want to say thank you to all of you. God is moving. We're so excited about it. We're so grateful to you for the partnerships. We love this church. We love the family of faith that God has built here. And I have a word from the Lord that I just want to share with you today. Is that okay? Because how many of you believe God still speaks to us? Still loves us enough to just get right into our hearts and faces and spirits and kind of go, and then talk to us. Amen. If you have a Bible, turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6 in Philippians chapter 1. Paul is writing to some of his dearest friends on the earth. This was a church that, quite frankly and honestly, his epistle to them and his relationship with them is more intimate and close and personal. It's a very much a family kind of epistle. And he just speaks to them about their servant hearts and his servant heart and their ongoing relationship. But in here in chapter 1, verse 6, there's this really beautiful verse. He says, I'm confident, I'm really assured about this one thing, that the one who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Let me read it again. I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. Now, get that. He didn't finish it. It's not done yet, but it's begun. It's underway. He is moving, and he's moving on your behalf. He is moving in you that he might move through you. And he is committed to conforming and performing and working on and in and through you until the day of Jesus Christ. So with apologies to Lenny Kravitz, some of you don't even know who that is. Look it up. One hit wonder. It ain't over till it's over. Say it with me. It ain't over till it's over. Amen. God is not finished with us yet. Now, why is that important? Because time and gravity happen to us all. Come on. How many of you are of an age now where you bypass a mirror sometimes and you look in and you go, who is that? My dad just appeared. That's my mom. That's my aunt. Who is that? Or better yet, you are a part of this social media phenomenon where they post a 20-year-old picture because you've been on Facebook that long. And they put this thing up and you go, who is that? Time and gravity. Changes. Challenges. Come on. It happens to us all. It's the stuff of life. But in the middle of all of that, I have good news. I have good news. This is the gospel, good news. Here's the good news. Are you ready for this? The good news, God is committed to your continued development in a hands-on way. Come on, listen to me. God is committed. God personally, Himself, is committed to your continued development. Not just by sending instructions. Not by sermonizing. Not through tape ministries or internet programs. But with a hands-on approach. Come on, say hands-on. Come on, say it again. Put your hand on somebody. Just touch them. Hands-on. Hands-on. Amen. God is committed to working us in us in a hands-on way. Romans 8:28 says it this way. It's kind of an interesting verse. People misinterpret it all the time. We know that all things work together for good to them who are the beloved of God, who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He predestined that they might be conformed, worked on, fit into the image of His Son. Did you get that? It doesn't mean that everything that happens to you in time and chance and challenge and gravity is good. Because it's not. There are things we pass through that we go, there was almost nothing good about that. But the good God of heaven, in the middle of it all, is going to keep His hand on my life. And He's going to work in that He might work through me in Jesus' name. Amen. And the product that He is producing is according to the pleasure of His good will. I love this truth. God is not finished with us yet. He is working on us. He's committed to us. In fact, it says it this way in Ephesians. It's kind of an interesting one. It says that by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. It's a gift of God. It's not a product of works, but it's because you are His workmanship. You are a crafted product of God. You are in the process of being molded and shaped and formed into the image of Christ. There's a whole set of good work that God has ordained for you to do. He set the table for you. But not for you to just independently go find it. I got to seek and find and search and discover and try and fail. No, no, no. You just have to be moldable and pliable and shapeable. You want to know the will of God for your life? Yes, success. No. Softness. I see some of you men are going, huh? I'm all about hard. Tough guy. All right, tough guy. Meet the Lord. Meet the potter. Meet the master. Meet the craftsman. Amen. And I'll just straight tell you, He's tougher than you. He's stronger than you. He's bigger. He's better. He's better than you are. But He loves you. And He has a plan to form you and me into the precious image of His own Son. His own self. For His own glory. Amen. He hasn't called you to be on your own. He is a hands-on God. Say it again. Hands-on. Hands-on. Let me tell you, there's a picture in the scripture that's used that I just want to take you to because I think it's so powerful. Recently, I had a chance to just have a whole bunch of dedicated days to just seek after the Lord and love on God and rejoice and read and read through all the Old Testament covenants and all the promises of the prophets and all this stuff and all the New Testament during this period of time. It was just fabulous. But the Lord just drew me to some things that I thought were so powerful. And this kind of grew out of this. You know what I mean by an enduring analogy, a picture, a likeness, a reality that will last forever. And so I want to introduce you to the enduring analogy, if you will, that's in Jeremiah chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, I'll just read this to you. Jeremiah 18. Jeremiah's prophecies, by the way, were for Judah in a time of absolute crazy wickedness. Literally, in the early chapters of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is speaking and he's talking to his people and he kind of says, you know, here's what's, you guys are so far away from the gloriousness of God and his work in you. You're just missing it on so many levels and you don't even care. That was the Jeremiah shock. He said, from the Lord, God said, this is a time when you ought to be ashamed, but here's the truth. You're not ashamed. You don't even remember how to blush. How many of you think we're kind of living in a day when people have forgotten how to even blush or be embarrassed? Where it's just, we're just crazy out there. I mean, it is. And here's, in the middle of all of that, here's Jeremiah saying, okay, but there's a good way. There's an ancient path. There's an eternal pathway. There's a relationship that's available. That's always been and will always be available. And here's what he says in Jeremiah 6. He says, if you could find this ancient path, you would find rest to your souls. Have you ever read that? This is not what we're talking about here. Jeremiah 6:16 says you'll find rest to your souls if you can find the ancient path. And it's interesting. In the New Testament, Jesus says, if you'll just come to me, if you'll just be mine, let me hands on with you, you will find rest to your souls.
Amen.
Amen. Hands on. So God, here I am. Put your hands all over and guide me. Here's the picture in Jeremiah 18. The word of the Lord comes to Jeremiah saying, go down to the potter's house and there I will give you my message. And so I went down to the potter's house and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot that he was shaping from the clay became marred in his hands. Something went wrong. And sometimes it's air bubbles, sometimes it's grits and sand and rocks and grains and various kind of things like that. Or sometimes it's just a hardness that just starts to prematurely develop in the clay. But the pot that he was shaping became marred in his hands. And so the potter just tossed it out and said, I'm done with you. Three strikes, you're out. Boom. See ya. Hands off. No. He just continues to work. And he shapes it according to his will into a vessel of his choosing. Does that sound familiar? You'll read it in Romans, that same Romans epistle in chapter 9 where Paul is writing, doesn't God have the power to make of pottery whatever kind of vessel he chooses? Isaiah said it this way in chapter 64 and verse 7. We are always going to be the clay. And you are always going to be the potter. What a picture. What a picture. How many of you know that the truth is that while many of the arts and crafts and kind of things that are done in artisanship and all of this creative kind of stuff that's done down through the years has changed dramatically with the invention of machinery and these various other kind of things, these art forms have changed. With CGI, everything changed. We can create commercials like the Jason Momoa commercial. Did you see that one? The Super Bowl, it's a brutal, big, huge, and he peels off all of his muscles and his hair. And it becomes this tiny little fragile thing. CGI. It's a marvelous thing. But here's the truth. Pottery and the way to make pottery, the way to fashion a vessel out of the earth and make it a thing of beauty and functionality, that art has not changed. Over all these years, it still involves these three things. There's three. I'm going to give them to you quickly. The clay, the base, the stuff, the wheel. You got to throw it somewhere. And the something you throw it onto, you spin it around. In fact, the faster you spin it, the more junk you get rid of. Amen. Clay doesn't like it, but the potter has a plan. And so you have the clay, and you have the wheel, and you have the potter. Amen. It's just that simple. It's still, and whether you now drive the wheel electronically rather than with your feet, or in a video that I'm going to show you in just a few minutes, an old wagon wheel, a crusty old potter making an earthen vessel for his glory and by his hands-on approach. I love this passage because it just does talk about, can I tell you about the clay? The clay is a lot of things, but special isn't among them. Here's the truth about clay. It wasn't hard for, by the way, for Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house because he could see the potter's field. How do you know the potter's field? It's this big red place. It's just exposed clay. It's dirt everywhere. That's where the potter set up shop. Why? Because there's clay everywhere. And that's the stuff we're working in. This is the medium. Our art form is with clay. And so what is it? It's common. It's everywhere. You walk on. You don't revere it. You don't say, ooh, let's tread around it. It's common stuff. I know some of you just want to believe you're so amazing. You're so special. But here's the truth. We're pretty common. I better stop there for just a second and let you consider that. I want to be special. Well, I didn't say you aren't special in some way, because though it's common, though it's everywhere, what makes it special is that the potter digs it out. Yes. And so the common becomes chosen. Yes. Have you read this? You didn't pick me, Jesus said. You didn't choose me. You thought you made this really smart decision. Honey, I came after you. I chose you. I handpicked you to be mine. Get that? I've committed to this hands-on, continuing relationship with you that will last till the day of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! So the common becomes chosen. Whoop, whoop! And what's my job? Here's my job. Be soft. Be moldable. Be craftable. Be pliable. Don't insist that you're a finished product. Amen. Because it doesn't start when he takes it and picks it out, he doesn't say, oh, everybody look, it's a pot. It's a plate. It's a cup. Maybe in his mind's eye, it is. He knows what he has planned. That's what Jeremiah said. I know the plans that I have for you. You have no clue. But if you'll let me keep my hand on you. Amen. Why? Because he takes that thing and he throws it on the wheel. Now, I got to tell you about the wheel. The wheel is one of those spinny, kind of twisty, weirdo, you don't get the clay doesn't control the wheel. Nor does the clay have the option to go, stop the wheel, I want to get off. Although we do that sometimes, don't we? Especially when the whirlwind of change and sickness and loss and stuff starts to happen to us. And we go, stop the world. Stop the wheel. No. This is the stuff in which God works. This is the medium in which God works. He's not beyond it. He's not somewhere separate from it. He's right in the middle of it, putting his hand on you and me. Amen. He's not wanting to deliver us from. He's wanting to deliver us in and through and among. In all things, God works for the good of those who are the called according to his purpose. To do what? To work Christ into your life. Come on, how many of you have lived long enough to pass through some really nasty places and yet learn God? Learn God in the middle of them in such a powerful way that you wouldn't want to repeat it tomorrow, but you wouldn't want to give up the lessons you've learned. Come on, somebody say amen. This is the reality. So we are the clay and we're on the wheel, but here's the beauty. There is a potter. That's the picture. There's a potter. And here, can I say this? The potter is the owner of everything anyway. The potter owns the clay. The potter owns the wheel. The wheel is not out of control and the potter is just adjusting to it. The potter is driving the speed of the wheel. Yes. Gotta get that. Why? Because the potter is the master. He's the selector. He's the one who's chosen. He is the one who has looked inside of our souls and inside of our spirits. He's the one who out of the commonness of the clay has formed us to be made into his image. Out of nothing, he built all of things. And then out of the dust of the earth, out of the clay, if you will, he creates humankind that he might breathe into us the breath of his eternal glorious life. This is the potter. Hallelujah. I'm in love with the potter. And here's the beauty. He is committed to this hands-on continuing relationship. If you want to know what the potter thinks of the clay, here's the truth. The clay is the stuff of divine design. Put that one on your mirror. When you look in the morning and you go, ah! You may not look great, but you are the stuff of divine design. God has put his hand on me to develop in me the glorious image of Jesus, the Christ of God. Hallelujah. I am his handiwork. Ooh, ooh. He's the artisan. And sweetie, I'm the art. Amen. He's the potter. I'm the vessel. I'm the chosen one. I'm a part of this thing that God is doing. And so what am I going to become? It is not up to me to decide what I'm going to become. Oh, let's work for the Lord. Let's do it for Jesus. Blech! Seriously, let's let Jesus do it in and for and through us. Amen. What are you going to do for Jesus? What has he done for you? What is he doing for you? What does he intend to do for you? That puts the potter in the proper place. We are in the hand of his majesty himself. And what we shall be, we don't yet quite know. But we do know when he shall appear. The work that he is bringing about in us will become perfected. He will perform this that he has begun in us until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is the potter. And so, how do you react? What are life lessons? And I'll give you these. I just want to give you these because I want to finish with a song. It's a beautiful song and it's a picture because some of you don't even know what pottery looks like when it's being made. And I want to show you a video. It's terrible old video. It's scungy a little bit. The singing behind it is beautiful, but it's muffled. We don't care. We're going to sing it. We're going to do this because here's the truth. We trust in the majesty and the work and the continuing hand-on relationship that we have with God. Amen. We don't try. We trust. I'm not redoubling my efforts. I'm not gonna pull myself up by my bootstraps and try again. Stop trying. And start trusting. Amen. What does that look like? It looks like being in the potter's hand. It looks like being moldable. Here's the prayers we pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. In the earth, the clay, as it is in the heavens. Amen. Amen. Do what you want to do in me. Open to me. Work in me. Work on me. Work through me, Lord. The things that glorify you. The things that are in your heart and your head. And you communicate to me through your hands. Amen. This is the prayer we pray. And so I want to close with a song. It's a beautiful song. Darlene Sheck wrote these words a number of years ago. She is the Hillsong's worship pastor and music leader. And many of you know many of the songs. But it says, beautiful Lord, wonderful Savior, I know for sure that all of my days are held in your hand and crafted into your perfect plan. You gently call me into your presence, guiding me by your Holy Spirit. So teach me, dear Lord, teach me to live all of my life through your eyes. I'm captured by your holy calling. So set me apart. put me on the wheel. I know you're drawing me to yourself. So lead me, Lord, I pray. Take me. Mold me. Amen. Use me. Fill me. I give my life to the potter's hand. Call me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life to the potter's hand. So
we hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.